I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Uper.
In front there for Lesperance. Backhand to the front. Here's the shot on the car! Oh, Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Penalty. The penalty is over. Shoot!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much. The last Joe Schott Hour of the 2017-2018 season. Of course, we'll drag Coach Joe Schott in here during the offseason, too, for a couple of special shows to get you updated on Michigan Tech hockey. But this will close out this season. The Huskies with a heartbreaking loss on Friday afternoon against second-ranked and second-seeded Notre Dame by a score of 4-3 in overtime. And, Coach, I'm still not quite over it yet. You're pretty level-headed. You were able to move on and stuff like that, but has that one lingered for you throughout the weekend?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I came out of the game feeling content with the way we played. That you're after performance, you're after guys playing, with all the training, the guys playing, giving themselves a chance, playing at their best, being at their best in the game. I thought we played well. We could have played better in some areas. We certainly could have played worse in some areas. But yesterday was harder. Yesterday once we got back, and Saturday was harder. Because you know how close you were. You know, you're four games to win a national title. And we were playing well. We were playing well enough to play with anybody. You know, I don't think we were outclassed. We would have been in any hockey game. So, it's still lingering for sure.
It was a tough loss. I still marvel at the knowledge of coaches at your level, Coach. Mitch and I were talking earlier today. You, throughout the entire week, as soon as you knew who you were playing, said this is going to be a great matchup. Assistant Coach Dallas Stewart said this, we match up good against these guys. Assistant Coach Chris Brooks, we match up really well against these guys. And yet everybody else, who doesn't know the game as well, all the other reporters and stuff throughout the press conferences and whatever else was going on, they didn't directly say anything, but you got the feeling that they weren't giving the Huskies much of a chance on this. And you guys were exactly right. And overall, I think outplayed the Fighting Irish in that game.
Yeah, we played a good hockey game. We did what we wanted to do. We kept them to the areas we wanted to keep them. We would like to have a few blocked shots in there that, the goal and the power play, both goals by Gross, the winning goal and the power play goal were both easy shots to block. We'd like to get in front of those, but that's something we fought with all year. You can't get away from, again, we say that statement that I just love it. It rings true to me. That Navy SEAL statement. You don't rise to the occasion. You sink to the level of your training. When it's most needed, you go to who you are. And so that's why we try so hard all the time to make sure that we have good habits, that we're more interested in our quality of play individually and collectively, so that when the time comes, all those little things fall into place. And then you just maybe get that one thing that goes your way for you. And we fought that all the time. We fought the penalty kill all year long in a lot of areas. Personnel wise, we're a year ago, we're up at near the end of the year at second in the country on the penalty kill. This year we just could never get over the hump on any part of it, on the detail, on the forecheck, on the end zone coverage, on getting that big save, on those things. So, we'll continue to work at it. We'll continue to get better. We'll learn from this. We'll still have an ability, next year when we get right at it to pull out this game and look at some of the things down the stretch, some of the intricacies both ways, the goods, the bads, and learn from that and get the message across of how close you really are, you know, how close, because we came a tremendously long way this year. We came a long way. We got good buy-in. We were getting better and better every week with two more weeks of training. The buy-in was really good down the stretch from our guys. They were attentive. They were listening to everything we were telling them. They were executing everything we were telling them in practice to the best of their ability. And we just continue to grow and grow and grow. That's why I said even that first series, how important it was to win a series. It's just so important to win a series for the whole concept of it, the buy-in, the confidence, everything to set up the next year.
So the bad in that game, it seemed like to me we had too many easy turnovers where we were kind of throwing the puck into open ice that wasn't occupied by Michigan Tech players. Is that part of the problem?
It got better.
It got better.
It got better as the game went on. And again, that goes by, you know, we started out and I think we were down 5 or 7 shots to none at one point in the game, when it started. But we settled in, we got through it, we didn't give up great scoring chance against. But a lot of that was on just what you're saying about. Again, I go back to, nervousness, anxiousness, all that stuff comes from not being prepared. I think that as a staff, we were as calm as we could be going into that game. I felt good, I slept great. I felt that we had the details covered. We were prepared. We were, you know, in every aspect. Our power play movement, when we got the chance in the game, we had won. It was outstanding.
Really good.
It was outstanding. We got in the zone cleanly. We had possession in the zone cleanly. Both units executed well.
Let me stop you there, Coach. I wanted to ask you about that because we didn't get a chance to talk to you after the game. We never do it with NCAA games like that. But, that power play, it looked so good. Was that, I was wondering, is that the way Notre Dame normally plays the power play? Is that what they wanted, or did we do such a good job against them that we had such great puck movement all the way around?
Well, it was both. You know, it's in the pre-scouting. You go to the tendencies and you go to the individuals of, you know, who's forechecking, who the defenders were, where can you attack, where can you get in the zone, who can you go after. So it was part of that, and it was part of our guys being in tune to what they were doing as well. I mean, so they're doing their job based on what the opposition's doing, and the opposition's doing their job based on what we're doing. So it was just, the movement was great. Everything set up well for us on it. The one thing we lacked on the power play is what Notre Dame had, what Bowling Green had, what Mankato had. We lacked that big bomb from the top. Now we may have some of that coming in next year, but we lacked that explosive shot from the top that just made them have respect on the penalty kill, made them get up and stretch out a little bit more. Teams were able to sit back and try to block a little bit, but we did get them to chase us a little bit on their penalty kill. So every part of what we did, we felt good, we felt confident, we felt prepared going into the game. I felt good knowing that, knowing Jeff so well, that again, how that game would settle in. I knew what, when push came to shove, the type of game that they were going to play. And so I thought we executed well. You know, came down to a one shot game. We had great pressure in the overtime. We got 3 line changes in offensive zone possession and had them gassed right up until the time they scored that last goal. So just an unfortunate break.
It was an unfortunate break. Let's take a look at the first goal of the game, which did not come until the second period. It was early in the second period, though. The Huskies get on the board with Joe L'Esperance at the 1:13 mark.
Behind the net to the far side of the Michigan Tech zone. Stolen away there by Lucchini, but he had it taken away from him. Huskies will get it back, though. Donahue with a stretch pass up for L'Esperance. L'Esperance bringing it in. Shoots and scores! Joe L'Esperance was hooked on the play, and he still scored and gives the Huskies a 1-0 lead.
Now, I thought he was hooked on the play. There was no call there. But looking back at the replay, I was okay with them not making a call there, even though I thought they probably should have.
Yeah, we got the goal. You know, there were several
play would have been nice.
Yeah, there were several close calls in the game. There were several close. We got in actually behind them several times. But you know, I'm okay with the refs putting the whistle away as long as they're doing it both ways, and I thought they did a good job.
Seamus Donahue and Jake Lucchini get an assist, but we've seen that pass quite a bit to Joe L'Esperance. Has an incredible knack of finding that area there, and great pass by Sheamus.
Yeah, and what he does is he's so strong is when he gets that body position, he's through. He gets through, and then he's got that long reach where he can extend his arms, and he uses, you know, combination of his strength and his size and his reach and things. He's able to get those shots on goal. So that was a big goal to get us confident, get us going.
We see the game tied up on a bad break by the Huskies, and you know, after watching it live and then having to watch the replay to see exactly what happened, Sheamus Donahue just trying to backhand the puck further behind the net to the far corner, and it goes off of a skate and bounces to the near side or the short side of the net. And of course, Packy Munson had already committed to going over to where the puck was heading.
Malmquist in on the forecheck. Donahue pinched him off perfectly. Watch out! They score! Turned over by the Huskies behind the net. A bad break for Michigan Tech, and they tied it up 1-1 with 16:20 left to go.
It just seems like if you're going to win a game like that, you can't have any bad breaks, and that certainly was a bad break for us.
Yeah, and you know, that's that if you know, Sheamus did a great job for us this year, 16 points or something like that. A tremendous freshman year for him. The one thing that he's going to have to do, and him and Tyler will go, is get stronger. Like you said, get that puck on your forehand, make that strong man play, just like on the power play. Bear down, get that puck, you know, get some meat on that puck and get it through, and don't flip the puck into block shot situations and things like that. And that's what happened there. A little backhand, went off a skate and came out in front, but that's good pressure by Notre Dame. They, you know, that's what pressure does to you. Pressure forces hasty decisions. It forces mistakes, and they were able to capitalize on the goal on that one.
I thought Donahue had done a great job, though, right before that. He rubbed the carrier off perfectly.
Yep.
Played the perfect side of the body.
Yeah. He needed that strength, and he needed to keep moving his feet, and he needed to get it under his forehand and get that puck, you know, rimmed around to our winger. So, but those are things, again, those are things we talk about all the time with Sheamus. Those are things he'll get better at. He got much better as the year went on, and he'll get better with that as we go. And they're lessons. They're hard lessons, but they're good lessons.
You know, then they take their first lead of the game. Wegworth, who's on their fourth line. I don't know how much did their fourth line play, Coach. Would you estimate in that game?
They got some shifts. And what they did more is they dressed an extra D, so they were shifting guys around and getting those guys playing with other players. So they got some ice time.
So they take the lead with a goal by Joe Wegworth.
He's battling down there on the half wall. Pass to the front of the goal. Did not connect. Wide open in front. And that one turned over. Now the Huskies can't make the play. Side of the net. They score again. Banging it home this time was Wegworth as the Huskies could not get the clear. 12:56 left to go in the second period. First lead of the game for the Fighting Irish.
Seemed like a couple of things on that play, Coach. And correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously not being able to get the clear. And then it didn't seem like we were able to cover that guy in the back door.
Yeah, and what happened with us on this is we got a couple of really good shifts out of our fourth line, out of Mason and Tommy Bretta and Ray Bryce. That line had really been struggling through the playoffs in our zone. But they got out there and they gave us maybe three, maybe four really good shifts, including this shift where they started out in the offensive zone and did really well. Then what happened is the puck got into our zone and that line just had a lot of trouble in our D zone cover. And we got caught, Ray got the puck on a stick, wasn't able to get it out. Then went to the half boards and we had a double coverage there. Mason went on a man that was already covered. And then on a rotation off it, they were able to get a guy in behind Tommy Beretta, because we had double coverage at the half board. So there were just, again, it goes down to your training. That was the vulnerability that we had with that line. You know, we had a good talk, good couple conversations with them during the week and just, you know, give us some really good shifts, and they did. And so we went back with them, rewarded them with more ice time. It ended up ended up in our net, but, you know, they had, you know, our first, to get us going, they had our first two or three good scoring chances in the game. But, and then the irony of it is, those are the first two scoring chances. There's 12 minutes left in the second period, and they score on both scoring chances they get in the second period. You know, like at that point that we gave up, I believe 10 scoring chances in the first three periods. They had, I think, three or four in overtime. But we didn't give up much, and we had given up five. Now we had given up three in the first, five till 12 minutes in the second period, five total scoring chances, and two of them now go in our net. So, goes back to bite us a little bit, that, you know, that number, that 1-7 number that we're looking for in goal as well. So, again, it's tough game. It's those things, but it still goes back to, you know, everything that you work on throughout the whole year.
We, outshoot the Fighting Irish 17-6 in that second period, Coach. Part of that had to do with a couple of shots on the power play, but, I mean, that's quite a margin. I mean, I know shots aren't the big thing, but we certainly had some great opportunities.
Yeah, and we only had one power play. So,
right.
We played an outstanding hockey game. It was a great game. We had great opportunities. We were getting behind them. We generated some odd man rush situations. We had offensive zone time. We had possession. We were going low to high with getting it and creating time and space. We did a lot of things extremely well in the hockey game.
All right, so we'll take a break. We'll be back with the remainder of the highlights from that big game against Notre Dame on Friday. And your questions coming up later on in the hour, too. DJ at themix93.com. It's the Joe Schaan Hour on Mix 93.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her in all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup.
And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
No, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Taco, Taco Man. You know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish taco starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay.
Without delay.
Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues. Advanced tech body repair. Advanced tech.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We are in the middle of our recap of the NCAA game against the Fighting Irish. The Huskies and the Irish tied, the Huskies down by one going into the third period after outshooting Notre Dame 17-6 in period number two. The move of the game, the highlight of the game, was Jake Lucchini's assist.
That one bounced right back up front. Corralled there by Reinke, who sends it over, and Seamus Donahue with a lead pass for Lucchini, who comes up the ice now across the line. Lucchini with a toe drag, brings it in, shoots, saves, score! It is a Gavin Gould putting in the rebound, and the Huskies have tied it up in the first minute of the third period, 2-2.
Well, we've seen quite a few times Lucchini do that. It doesn't always work for him, but that one certainly did. I love the way he led with his left leg to kind of protect that puck just to get it out. And because if he doesn't do that, the goalie doesn't have to totally commit to him, right? And,
right.
And that rebound, he had no chance in the rebound because he had to completely commit to Jake Lucchini.
Yeah, Fedorov used to make that move
all the time.
Do that so well. He'd get in there and have that lead leg out and bent, and that way it shields from the stick being able to get at him. So he did a great job, and Gavin did a great job following that play up. That was a big goal, and it was early in the third, and we felt good. We felt good at that point.
And another great pass by Donahue. I mean, his vision from that from an offensive or defensive blue line is great.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, he ended up with 16 or 18 points. I don't recall exactly what it was on the year, but it was a good total for a freshman for sure.
He had 14 points going in, and he had
16.
16 points, yeah.
So he got 2 assists in the game.
All right, so that ties it up 2-2. But the Huskies' lead did not last that long. At the 6:19 mark, the thorn in the Huskies' side, Jordan Gross, gets his 9th of the season.
To the Huskies, back up top now for Gross. He'll pull it off the boards, skates it to the middle of the blue line. Hands it off to Ogilvie on the left side. He'll send it down low. Michigan Tech working defensively now on the penalty kill. Notre Dame up top. Gross with a shot. Scores! Right through. Gross with a one-timer. Munson never saw it. Never saw it, and a 2-1 lead now for Notre Dame.
That was with Mitch Ranke in the penalty box for a cross-checking. That was the second consecutive penalty kill that we had, Coach, in the period. And just what happened on that one that we weren't able to... You know, what was there, not good positioning or what?
Yeah, it was. We got out of position to block the shot. It was a rotation up top. It was exactly what we knew they were going to do. We just didn't anticipate it and get down and block that shot. It's again the old nemesis, but that very simple as to what happened.
We outshoot them in the third period, 14-10. As we're getting closer to the end of the third, Coach, 3 minutes, 2 minutes left. What was your time in mind as far as pulling Packy does that have a lot to do with the way we're controlling the play or not controlling the play?
You know, it has a lot to do with it, but we still had our timeout that we could use and things, and it was just going to go on feel. If we had anything under the 2 minute marker where we had a face off in the offensive zone, we would have got him out. This happened that we didn't. They were tired. We thought they were tiring. Notre Dame had played, I believe, 2 games prior to that in the entire month of March. So they were a little bit, we thought, fatigued. They didn't have their game legs. We had our game legs. We thought we were taking it. We thought we had the momentum in play for the most part, through the second period and the third period. So we wanted to keep the flow going as much as we can. We took the goalie out actually without a timeout. And we're able to get a great play out of Jake Jackson.
Jake Jackson with the goal for the Huskies, and this tied it up.
Huskies trying to maintain possession, and we'll go back with it. Extra attacker out there for Michigan Tech. Here comes Jackson. Jackson bringing it down. He'll shoot, score! Jake Jackson again with the goal! Ties the game up with 1:06 left to go in the third. 3-3.
Coach, I've watched the replay on that several times trying to figure out how that went in. I thought maybe it went through between the legs, between the body and the arm. Can you tell us where
I
that went?
I think it went under the arm. I'm not 100% sure. He was trying to go up over the shoulder, and I don't think he got it up where he wanted to, and I think it went under the arm, like in between the arm and the body is where
it definitely hit. Morris going in.
But, you know, again, you're going in all the time, and everybody's asking, it happened through the whole playoffs, it happened. How are you gonna get, Kale Morris? How are you gonna get, what are you gonna do? How are you creating? And the thing is, like we said so often with every goaltender, I mean, we played Tolvanen down the stretch twice, including that last series at the end of the year. We played Bitzer. We played Lacave, who's a Richter finalist. Played all these tremendous goaltenders, and it was the thing is, as we saw on video all the time, we just want to see how good he is. Yeah, we just want to get at him and create some pressure on him and see how good he is. And we were able to get at all these goaltenders. Every one of them we were able to get to and to have success against them. So, in that game and what we gave up in the game and things like that, you want that 3 goals that you score to hold up. That's what you're after, if everything is working well. But again, you're playing against a champion team that, you know, they won their regular season in the Big Ten. They won their playoffs in the Big Ten. They're a team that got big goals at the right time. Things happened at the right time for them, and talking to Jeff. So, they're riding a little magical run right now. We're riding a little magical run, and they just had a little bit more in their tank than we had.
So, overtime, Coach, give us your feel. We're in the offensive zone that is right in front of our bench. You're able to watch that whole, I don't know how long it was, that we had complete control and complete fatigue on the part of Notre Dame, and to the point where, from our vantage point, it looked like they were just doing anything they could do to just stay between the puck and the net, because they couldn't chase. Mm-hmm. They were too tired to do so. What's going through your mind and the bench's mind at that point?
We're
going to
score. Let's keep getting fresh bodies out there. Let's not, and that's what we were talking about on the bench. Hang on to the puck. Don't turn it over. Keep possession. They're tired. They're standing around. Hunt down loose pucks every time. You know, we had three changes in there. We had three line changes in there. And then what ended up happening is they had the block shot. Then they had guys popping on and off as they were coming up the ice because they were just absolutely gassed. And they were able to get the breakaway. We got the save on it. And then it comes down and they get the puck to Mark's side. Mark Ock was the one with the broken stick to get to his side. So he can't cover like he'd want to cover. He can't force like he'd want to force. And they get it up to the point and Gavin Gould got sucked out of position a little bit. Which is going to happen with Gavin at times. And so he wasn't able to quite recover to get the shot. And then we had in front, Mitch Meek takes a low route to get his coverage in front. Could have gone above his guy and got the block on the wrist shot as well. So, again, the areas with personnel that you work with all the time on them, they go back to their habits a little bit versus going back to their training. And that's something we have to continue to work on. We're year one into our attention to detail. And you'd think that, well, you had all year to do that. And we did, but everybody, we got in the right spots. Everybody was in the right spots and things like that. Just a matter of doing your job when you're in the right spots. And that's the detail you need. It's a fine line. It gets more important as things get more important. You know what I mean? If you're in the military and you're in a combat situation, it's vitally important, that everybody's able to do their job. And weak links, they don't even want there. Guys that, they understand tendencies, weaknesses. They don't even want them in those critical situations. And we do our best to make sure at what we're doing to have the best guys that show over time that they're the most consistent in those situations.
So the Huskies dominated in the offensive zone, and then the bad thing happens.
To the point, broken stick, and back the other way come the Fighting Irish. Coming out, breakaway, shot, save, rebound, kicked away by Munson. To the front of the goal, Huskies trying to get it out now. Gross with it, he'll shoot, score.
Gross with the second goal of the game. He gets the game winner for the Fighting Irish. The shots in the overtime, 9-4 in favor of Notre Dame, but the Huskies with all that pressure, right before that happened. And, it just was like that. It's over. It's just incredible. But, let's go back to the broken stick, coach. I watched the rest of the regionals throughout the weekend. I saw so many broken sticks out there on scoring opportunities by so many different teams. Are these players playing with the proper, flex and all that stuff? I'm starting to wonder now, is it something that should be paid more attention to by college players and anybody playing the game, that's taking windups and stuff like that?
Hey, it's the game. Yeah. That's the game. Things happen. And again, it comes down to you just, it comes down to what we're trying to get across here. The main emphasis of what we're trying to do here is to live the right way. Always attentive. There's so many cliches that go into it. Like character is what you do when nobody's looking. Those types of things. Winning isn't a sometimes thing. It's all the time. All those types of things. But they ring so true in that, in everything you do, what I liken it to, not to get a soapbox, I liken it to religion. You live for the end game. You live your life, usually for the end game, right? You're trying to get, whatever the end game is within the religion that you're in. Christianity, it's trying to get to heaven. You live the right way. You have to do things right all the time. It's the same thing in athletics, and that's the beauty of athletics. You're trying to get habits that on and off the ice for a student athlete. A part of that is academics, going to class. You want to do things right all the time. The easiest thing to do is sway into shortcut and do things. And a lot of guys are used to doing that. The culture of what we're trying to get here is to do things the right way all the time. all those little things, treat people the right way. Serve others like to the people who have the most, take care of the other guys. You know what I mean? Like don't be a prima donna and expect guys to wait on you because you're at the top of the pecking order on the roster, things like that. Do things the right way. When you do things the right way, over time, you may not win. You may not be good enough. We may not be good enough. We may not have the personnel. We may not have the talent, but we're going to give ourselves the best chance of succeeding. You look at Air Force. How does Air Force go in and knock off the number one seed, St. Cloud? How do they do that? They have a tremendous work ethic with the culture of guys that are going to, that have a military mindset. They're tremendously trained, culture oriented, service oriented type people. And they go in and they've had some major upsets in NCAA tournament play, over the years. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to create that type of culture. So it'll continue to grow. We're recruiting guys that are going to be like that in here. It'll continue to grow and get better. And like, again, I say the only thing that we can control is how we do things, how we play, how we perform, and that we perform to the best of our ability today. And then when today's done, learn from today and then perform to the best of our ability tomorrow and keep growing on that. Have sophomores get better freshmen. That's one of the things that I'm most proud of this year. Joe Lesperance ended up with 1 point at less than he had a year ago, which led us in scoring. After all this slump talk and everything, and we played less games this year, one or two, whatever it was, but he ended up with 27 points, more goals than he had a year ago, and 27 points he had 28 a year ago and led us. Lucchini almost doubled his points. Ranky's points were way up. Jackson's points were way up. Smith's points were up. Gould's points were up. You know, everybody. We ended up with the top scoring defensive core in the country. The top point total for a defensive core in the country. There's a lot of things. Now, we didn't defend as well. A year ago, we were like around 2.2 in goals against average. This year, we were about 2.66, which when you look at the goaltending situation we had, ended up getting pretty good. We got pretty good down the stretch, in that part of our game. You know, they got thicker skins. They held a more accountable standard. The goalies did a great job. Devin went in and gave us some great consistency in there. A lot of tremendous things. We ended up with more goals. We ended up 3.05 this year, 2.91 last year in goals per game average. We had less penalty minutes. Our minutes per game were down, by about 100 penalties. So many good things. Every trend is going in the right direction. We need to continue that. And continue to grow, but I like where we're at. I think the staff did a great job. Probably beating this up a little bit, but there's so many good things. Really the only things that went the other way were our goals against average. I'm sure our save percentage. So the goaltending type stuff and the penalty kill. So those are the things that went the other way. Everything else, power play was marginally close, like 20.03 a year ago. This year was 19.8 or something like that. So, but a lot of guys, I mean, our top point guy this year, 39 points. Top point guy a year ago, 28 points. You know, we never had a D with 30 points since I've been here. Mark Ock with 31 points this year, 32, whatever it was, you know, 30 points. Other guys in the mid-20s, other D. So, things in my opinion are looking on the upswing.
Yeah, I was just smiling when you talked about penalty minutes being down because I was just thinking, well, Matt Roy's not here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Matt Roy took so many.
Yeah, Leibinger, Lives and Matt Roy, yeah, for sure.
Final shots, Huskies out shooting the Fighting Irish in that game, 39-32, and we only got the one power play, 0-for-1. They got one more power play.
So they had 9 shots in overtime. That's 23 shots through regulation.
Yep, that was it.
So, I mean, it was and then in overtime they started throwing everything they could at the net, trying to get something at the net. So, it was a good effort.
Short break. We've got a lot more to talk about. We'll talk about early signees and what do we got coming back for Michigan Tech. It's a Joe Schottenauer here on Mix 93.
It takes 4 essential ingredients to brew Bud Light. Barley, rice, water, and hops. But this is a 30-second commercial. So here's the sound of barley malting. It's super quiet. Sorry. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Brewed to be America's favorite light lager. Bud Light, famous among friends. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake County prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the earned income credit and education credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake County. Lake County will ensure that you receive all of the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake County is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake County, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.
Keweenaw Automotive, a family-owned Carfax Advantage dealer for over 30 years, has an enormous selection of quality hand-picked cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Many from the Southwest, 100% salt-free, these cars all look like new. With something for every budget, you're sure to find your next set of wheels from Keweenaw Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton. Keweenaw Automotive, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 6, and Saturday, 9 to 3. Check Facebook or KeweenawAutomotive.com for new inventory as it hits the lot.
Save your bucks at Bucco's during their March Madness sale. All six packs of 16-ounce canned beer is on sale. 32-ounce Powerades are 10 for 10 bucks. Vitamin Waters and Core Organic Energy Drinks are 4 for 5. Red Baron Pizzas are 3 for $9.99. Kickstart Energy Drinks are 4 for 4. And High Drive Energy Drinks are only 99 cents. At your party headquarters, Bucco's Party Store in Calumet. All sales do not include taxes or deposits.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
All right, welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Many of you have seen or heard that Mitch Rankin, according to the St. Louis Blues, has indeed signed a two-year entry-level deal. Coach, this is something that, for me, wouldn't have been surprising maybe the way I thought about things halfway through the year. I knew that there was a lot of that being entertained, but recently I was under the impression just from things that we have heard that he wasn't going to sign, but he indeed did, and he'll be a great pickup for the Blues.
Yeah, he's Mitch is a great kid. I talked to him a few times yesterday, obviously, and that's hockey. These guys are, that's what they're in it for. They want to be professional hockey players, and our job is to try to help them reach their goals and reach their dreams, and I think Michigan Tech can be very proud that we had a young man like that within our system. We're continuing to get guys signing NHL deals, which is a really good thing. Mitch's improvement was great this year. He loved it. He said it had to be the right deal for him to sign. He said that at the beginning of the year. It had to be the right deal. It had to be, everything had to be right in his mind. And he had a relationship with people with the Blues and the deal. I can't say that it wasn't a great opportunity for him. Everything that he needed to make it work, it worked in his favor for it. His big deal was whether it was better for him to come back for another year or whether he was ready in his mind and the people closest to him to move on. And he felt he was in position and I think he's going to possibly get a chance right away. St. Louis is fighting for a playoff spot. They have some injuries on defense. So, we're extremely happy and proud for him. It's been a pleasure for the 2 years working with him, and a pleasure to recruit him and to watch him over time. And I remember when we first got him, he was so small, and that was the thing. Like, is, I hope he grows, but his dad was like that, and his dad grew what a great young man. Just a special kid. He reminded me, I was talking to him yesterday. He reminded me a lot of when I coached Ryan Miller. Ryan had the end game in mind. You could tell it. Everything he did, how hard he worked, how he approached things, the things that he worked on, always working on the things he needed to. He had a professional mentality, a professional attitude, and Mitch was the same way. Everything that he did, he took extra classes this year just to prepare because he's going to get his degree. He's going to graduate. Not this year, but he's, that's very important to him and his family. But everything he did was to prepare himself for this opportunity. So extremely happy for him. It leaves us with a hole. We were looking at the chance at one point, and not that long ago, the chance of having both Dane Burks back and Mitch Rehnke, and now they will both sign. So we're good for them. We got to get back out and bang out the recruiting trail now, and I'm glad we did. We signed we covered ourselves a little bit recently, and we'll have to go out there and continue to do that and hope that something opens up for us.
And he's one guy, but you look at the time that Mitch Rehnke was out with that injury, over a month, and we lost some games in there. You wonder, him being in the lineup, would that have changed a little bit? Would that have helped our positioning at all going into the, having to win to get into the tournament? But, maybe we'd have been a one higher seed or something like that. So many ifs, but it's such an impact player. I mean, when he came back, it was noticed right immediately.
Isn't it great though when you look at it? Like, you look at the weaknesses, with that, Michigan Tech has nothing on defense. That's what's going into the year. They lost Roy, they lost Hannah, they lost Watts, and they lost Leibinger. They're playing their 5 and 6. They got nothing on defense. We end up being the top scoring defense in the country. That's not a little thing. We're not talking about the top 10.
Yeah.
We're talking about the top point producing defensive team. 107 on the year, 2 in the playoffs, at least 2 with 110 points on the year from our defensive core. I was talking to Mitch about that yesterday. You almost have to go back and start adding things up and saying, you look at the 15, 17 points that Keegan Ford had in the first half of the year before he got injured and things like that. But now we have to do it over again. Now we've lost Mark Ock, 30 points. We're losing Dane Burks with all, he grew this year. Pittsburgh just, every time they saw him, they liked him more and more. Boy, he's doing this so much better. He's doing that so much better. And now Mitch Rehnke. So we got our work to do, but that's what we do it for. Every year is an adventure. Every year you're rebuilding, you're retooling, you're redoing it. You're figuring out a way to have success. That's what it's about. So we'll get to work and start working on that right away, immediately, even today, and trying to, get ourselves positioned to be a team that, at the end of next year again is playing tremendous hockey and is in a chance to win a championship.
Do you foresee any others, coach, right now, or is there anybody else you want to?
I think there's possibilities with other guys. We got Jake Jackson's drafted. I think there's possibilities. Luch, you never know. You never know what people are thinking. We didn't think, I would imagine that in your phone calls, your last show last year with Mel, there wasn't a talk about Angus Redmond.
No.
And all of a sudden, so you never know what's going on. Underrated is the right thing or something. I thought we were pretty consistent all year long in how we played. Like, we generate scoring chances. What we had to do is get better at keeping the puck out of our net. And we had to work on our balance and scoring, which we did up front. Like, remember, at first it was Les Pronta's line carrying us. Then we started getting play out of Reitmeier and those guys, and Stamen started producing. He didn't get anything the first half of the year.
Right.
And then he ended up with 19 points. And then we're getting stuff out of Smitty and Baltz, and Baltz has a career year, and then Jacko catches fire. So we got our balance scoring down and things like that. So, and people start noticing that. And then all of a sudden they're seeing us play, we go in and beat the number 3 ranked team in the country in their rank in the playoffs, and we beat Bemidji in their rank in the playoffs. And then all of a sudden Northern is ranked 16 or 15 or 14. And then we go and we beat them in the championship. So it's like, this team isn't a bad team. Then we go and we play Notre Dame, and now people are watching, this is a pretty good hockey team. They got some pretty good players. We're throwing the puck around good. We're defending well. We're transitioning well, both offensively and defensively. We're taking care of the puck. We're managing it up the ice. We're tight on our coverages and things like that. So, I was talking to Paul Pooley walking off the ice after the second period. He says, there's no room out here. Like, there's no room. And we're talking to Bucci Gras and Barry Melrose. Before that, a little sit down ESPN chat on Thursday, and they're like, are you going to try to intimidate? You guys play such a physical game. And I'm thinking to myself, we don't play physical. We just try to play the right way. We don't go out there we're one of the lower penalty teams in the country, but we do compete. We do get after the puck. We do surround it. We do get bodies in there. So, there's, people take notice of players. You never know what's going to happen. The hard part, or I won't say the hard part, the challenge for us is to back up as best we can within the ethics of what I feel the game is, within the ethics, back up as best we can to cover for potential losses. Like we did that with a kid that we had committed that was the cover for this situation. That's what leaves us in a hole here. We had a cover and then Michigan grabbed him. Michigan came in and grabbed him. But we had this situation covered in case it happened, that a kid that could go back another year was willing to go back another year, but, if we had our guy sign, he would be the guy that we brought in. Now we have to resolve it. And that's the management of the game. That's the roster management within the NCAA rules.
All right, Coach, really quick, let's get your thoughts on the teams that are still going. Minnesota Duluth won there, regional. Ohio State, the big win last night. Michigan with a solid win in their regional final. And Notre Dame, of course, moved on after beating Providence. Do you have a favorite out of those four teams?
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this, and I said this going into the tournament in watching, because we got to watch, watch this team play in prep work. Ohio State's good. Ohio State's a good hockey team. I had several texts last night because I was asked, who do you like going in? And I was telling people, watch Ohio State. Like even Bucci Grassi, like I said, Ohio State, I love what they do. I love how they play in the offensive zone. And he was like, oh, well, this guy's out and that guy's out. I said, don't underestimate Ohio State. Then last night I got, like I said, several, maybe 8 or 9 text messages. Wow, you made the right call on that. So I'd say they're a dangerous hockey team, Ohio State. And that was no light thing beating Denver. Denver was
beat him soundly.
Denver would have been the favorite, but in anybody. So I think Ohio State has got a lot, but any one of those teams can win the tournament.
Michigan will take on Notre Dame in the late game next a week from Thursday. The early game will feature Minnesota Duluth and Ohio State. Duluth and Notre Dame, both teams in the Final Four, Frozen Four last year, too, right?
Duluth and Notre Dame were in last year. Denver was in last year,
So, and, of course, the championship game will be 2 weeks or a week from this Saturday coming up. All right, your questions in just a moment. It's the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93.
The Kaleva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaleva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays 8 till 9.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? Are you concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Megan Kangas of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whether you are single, married, have a house full of kids, are retired and aging gracefully, whatever your situation, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, the Turvo Agency offers more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Stop in or give us a call at 482-0080.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have a $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock. 337-5049 Lorium.
Stop in this month at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet. Save up to $40 by mail on CarQuest Platinum Professional Brake Pads and 2 Rotors. Offer valid through March 28th at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Welcome back to the Joe Schoen Hour here on Mix 93. Coach Schoen in our studio. Final Joe Schoen Hour of the season, but we'll have some off-season Joe Schoen Hours throughout the spring and summer and all that good stuff. All right, so some questions for you, Coach. First question, I don't know if you have any idea. Do you have, it says, do you know what will happen to the Broadmoor Trophy now that it's been retired? Any idea, Coach?
Nope.
No idea. I have no idea either. I would imagine it's somewhere in Colorado Springs. And
yeah, it's no. I have no idea where it is. I mean, it's probably got lost somewhere. I don't know where it is.
How will you spend your off season, Coach?
Well, we'll do a lot of recruiting through July 4th. We hit all the USHL camps, head out west for sure, and get some hockey in. We'll probably start that immediately because we have to get. We're still deep into trying to find. Now we're gonna have to try to find a couple of guys. We still have to look at, get some good looks at some of our guys we have committed to make determinations on when they're coming in. And I love to fish.
Yeah.
I love to fish, so I'm looking forward to getting out with my buddy Andre and spending some time on the water. It won't be back and forth to Marquette. Laura's here and we have some things we want to do to the house. I know Laura wants to have a bonfire with the Misfits and the Pep Band and things at the house.
Yeah.
We have a lot of work to do. We have a list of things, creating our playbook and things like that and going from there.
Coach, has your first year as a head coach at Tech been everything you hoped it to be?
It's been good. It was, we had a new staff. We went through our acclimation with that. And, that's something that's always a work in progress as well. There's going to be attention to young guys that want to, Brooksy wants to be a head coach and is deserving to do so. And Dallas is going to want that same thing. And he's in, everybody has their dreams and things as well. So that's always a work in progress. It was what I'm used to. It was continual improvement. It was playing your best hockey at the end. It was building a culture and being consistent with that and not giving in, not shortcutting the things. So, and we had some success on top of that. So it's been a fulfilling, bittersweet, but fulfilling for sure because you come so close. And I think where last year, I don't think we had the same feel going in the playoffs against Denver. I don't think anybody had the same feel. We felt that this team was performing well and was, had a chance of taking a step.
Coach, here's a tip of the hat to you. This listener says, this past June, if you would have told me that the Huskies would be in a better coaching position by March 2018, I would have said you're nuts. Yet that is exactly how I feel today. You have done an amazing job. Bravo. Thank you. And then their question is, and this kind of relates to what you just answered, but how has your staff fulfilled or exceeded your expectations?
Well, first, thanks for that comment, Laura. I appreciate that. I appreciate the kind of thing. I don't know if we're in better shape or not, but how has the team achieved or what's the question?
Has your staff fulfilled or exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, they've been great. Certainly fulfilled. I wouldn't say exceeded. I think that they were all good. We brought in, exactly what I wanted to bring in. I wanted to bring Brooksy in I wanted another coach. I wanted a guy that had similar philosophies, but different. That's a thing he and I say all the time. Similar, but different. Mm-hmm. To challenge each other, to tweak, let's try this. No, I don't want to do that because of this. Or I want to do this. Yeah, but think about this. So, with that. Now, the one thing I'll say is I expected Dallas to be more on the road than he was. Brooks is just so aggressive. You got to pull him back a little bit. And I think I was a little bit like that as well in the past. But you have to pull him back. I want him here, as well, but he likes to bang it out the staff was great. Tyler Shalas did an incredible job. Our conditioning level was phenomenal down the stretch. We had to play all those games on the road with travel. Brew did a great job in his travel. in training, and we went through a lot of injuries the second half, getting everybody ready to play in the playoffs, always offering input as to recovery and nutrition and everything like that. So the entire staff did an outstanding job. Mikey did a great job as well, Mikey Stevens. So, and the equipment guys, everybody exceeded what was asked. No one on the staff shortcut. No one did just enough to get by. Everybody was completely vested and bought in. I think our mood, our culture was good. People enjoyed coming to the rink, and that's important.
Next question, Coach. How do you fill your schedule? How does a coach do this? Do you contact other coaches? Do they contact you? Do you talk about it after games?
Yep.
Any chance that we'll see Jeff Jackson and the Fighting Irish in Houghton?
Yes, all of them. That's exactly how it's done. It's done with phone calls. It's done with people trying to fill their schedule out. It's a lot of schools get scientific about it and say they're looking at cycles. Where is Michigan Tech going to be this year? Where are they going to be that year as far as, are they going to be a pretty good team, but good enough that we can beat, you know, that type of thing. And then they contact you and we're like Clarkson next year. Casey Jones is a friend of mine. We have that. We're going there next year. They're coming here the following year. Not next year, but the following year, Notre Dame is coming here. It's everything's done right now except for the contracts being signed, but they are coming here. That's something that's been, Dr. Samgrit's been working on for some time, and we've got the dates and everything. We just have to get the contract.
How does the recruiting process work in terms of seeking out potential players, Coach? Initial contact, follow-ups? How much time do you give a recruit to decide to commit?
Well, it varies. Some guys we keep it open-ended a little bit. Some guys we say, you know, if we have to fill something right away and we have a short list of guys, you go to the first one and say, listen, you got this much time, and that's it. So, a lot of things are long-going processes, relationships that you've built over time. Some of them are brand new relationships where you like a kid and you're trying to learn about them as much as you can in a short period of time. So, everything goes into it.
You've kind of already touched on this, Coach, but is recruiting still in full force? And with the loss of Ranky, Burks, and Ock, it seems like we need some defensive high flyers.
We do. We need to replace some things. Now, like I said, we had that covered to our satisfaction, and you know, another school came in and got involved in that, and so now we have to get back, and we do have to. We thought that we'd have a good chance we'd have one of those guys back, and we don't have either or any of them back. So it'll open up opportunity for guys that we have for sure, but we do have to get out. And I like a couple of guys we have coming in as well a lot. We would have an incredible defense, you know, if Mitch and Bergsey would have been back. I mean, a high-end defense, an extremely, in everything you want, mobile, some size, great intelligence, puck-moving ability, great feel for the game. So, but now we have some work to do in that area. We're still banging out a couple forwards, and we still have to recruit at goaltending. So, you know, we're still working hard at it.
Can you comment any more on what your feel is for goaltending next year, Coach?
And, oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Well,
Devin's gone. He's a senior, and you don't. So we have one that we're deep in with a couple of individuals on that, and then we're also looking at possibly having to do another. You never know what Packy's situation is or Robbie's. We'll have exit meetings and we'll talk to them, and we'll move on from there.
So what goes on today, Coach, with the team? Is it one last kind of team meeting or anything like that?
Oh no, we'll meet today. We'll set up exit meet, you know, like end of year meetings with guys to get input and feedback. We'll try to clear the air and make sure that we're on the same page. They'll get a little bit of a brief time off, and then they'll start lifting. But right now what they need to do is need to pay a lot of attention to their schoolwork and make sure that they're, you know, they've missed a lot. We've been on the road for, you know, many weeks now. So, they got to get some time in and bang out their schooling, get caught up and get back into that.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today. Thanks for your questions, folks. Great questions. And, again, we'll try to get Coach in here whenever we think it's a good time to kind of update everybody on what's going on in the world of Michigan Tech hockey during the off season. But it was a great season, Coach. I want to thank you personally for just the way you treat us on the road and at home and your staff, but most importantly, just how great it was to watch this team all year long, especially at the end. It was a real fun run at the end, and it almost seemed like it wasn't going to end the way things were going out there.
Yeah, it felt like we were going to win, didn't it?
It really did.
And I want to thank you, Dirk, for all the support. You're just as much a part of as it is, and more so because you're our voice. You're the one that promotes us and you give us a positive spin all the time, even sometimes maybe when we don't deserve it. So I appreciate all. I mean, you're part of our staff. Everybody's, you know, the Misfits, the local community, the band, the other coaches that support us so well. It's been this truly is a special place. Every minute of it that we're here, Laura and I were talking about that Saturday. It's just it's a great place to be. It's a great place to live.
Thanks a lot, Coach. We appreciate it. Coach Joe Sean here on Mix 93 in the Joe Sean Hour. Thanks for tuning in.